Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Chris Freeman from Gay CDC, and you're listening to the Brutally Delicious Podcast.
How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Always. Always a fan.
Hello. I'm not sure. Okay. There it is.
Hello, financial aid. How are you?
Hello. Good. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Good to see you again.
You too. I love the shirt.
Thank you. Of course. Old school stuff, but yeah, thank you.
Yes. Yes.
You guys been doing okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So first off, condolences. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, thank you.
I know I had been emailing you as well, so but it's good to see you back.
Yeah, it did. It was a shock because there was no warning or really anything. It was just like, you know, just out of nowhere, honestly. So we were really broadsided.
Everything we
personally and as a band. So, right. You know, each of us in our own ways and you know, in our community, especially because he was so enmeshed in the community. Everybody knew him.
Everything that we've sort of just rolled out was supposed to be done with Clint, with the timeline with Clint in it, and everything that we've done was supposed to be, you know, his face was supposed to be there with us. So we had been planning it on our last tour. And so, he was very excited about the stuff that we had planned, the ideas that we had going forward, the ideas for the video. So it really did set us back. It's weird. You hear about people who lose band members and they kind of, you know, within a couple months have got rescheduled tour dates. And we knew we couldn't do that right away, that we had to regroup and figure out basically, A, are we going forward, which we knew we were, but it was like, B, give us some time to mourn and then don't put the pressure on ourselves. We had a game plan. We had everything set up, lined up. We knew what we wanted to do. It was just we all needed to be in the space that we could do it. And that's what that took the longest and what we all decided as a band that we needed to do.
And that was going to be one of my questions then. So was there a moment where you're like, hey, we can't go on with this without Clint? Or was it always like he would want us to carry it on anyway, so we're going to do it?
Well, Clint was a replacement for Carl. So Carl, once the pandemic started, we had to cancel a tour that morning. Like we were ready to leave that morning to go on a tour and was like, wait a minute, everything is shutting down. And around that time, Carl said, you know, I'm kind of done with doing this. But I'd love to play a few shows here and there with you guys. So, and he was the one who actually, you know, came up with the name accidentally at just standing around talking. And so Clint jumped in for Carl. And, you know, it felt like we're, you know, all brothers, you know, in a way.
Right.
So Carl is still around, but again, he's only here and there, just a few. And he makes a cameo. He's the bus driver in the video.
Right.
Carl will always be a founding member. In our very, very first show we ever played, The Eagle, Clint was the bartender. And I remember after the show going over to say hi to him. And he just gave me a big hug and he said, "You are onto something. This is great."
Wow. So let's talk about the video. Oh, wow. Let's talk about the video then, because I don't know how you got Doug involved. I've been a friend of Doug's for years, since when he was considered Christian metal or something back in the King's X days. I think we've had religious conversations, you and I, or all of us, right? We had the early upbringing and stuff. And, you know, I was a fan of his from way back, and I've done stuff with him over the past and over the years and whatever. Great guy. How did you get in contact with him? Or have you been friends all along?
I've known Doug since the first time I met him was at a Dan Reed Network show in New York at the Cat Club. And it was a record release show. And Doug was there with Jerry, I think. And like Kerry King was there. It was a weird kind of audience, but I was a huge King's X fan. So I went up and introduced myself to him. And then I met him again. I used to work for Extreme. And so there was a connection between King's X and Extreme way, way back. So then we reconnected, many years ago at a, Rock for MS benefit at the Whiskey. And I went up to him and just said, "Hey, we met years and years ago and I'm Brian." And, we talked, I said, I used to work for Extreme, and he was always very, you know, very sweet. Doug always takes a real interest in who you are and what your story is.
Doug is great. Yes.
And I said, "Oh, and I happen to be, you know, I'm a drummer now, and I'm playing drums in an all-gay tribute to AC/DC." He reaches into his pocket and pulls out a gay AC/DC pick. And he said, "Do you mean this band?"
Oh, that's
and
funny.
My jaw hits the floor. And what I didn't know is our bassist, Glenn, had met him a couple months ago at the Golden Gods Awards show here in L.A. And had given him the pick. And Doug just thought it was genius. He just thought it was the funniest thing ever, but didn't know anything about us. So he pulls out the pick, and I was like, "Yeah, that's the band. That's what I'm in." And he's like, "I'd love to check you out sometime." So we exchanged numbers, we reconnected. You know, we had a lot of mutual friends, and we just stayed in touch. And later, Doug was the one that got us on every other Tuesday night. There's a thing at the Whiskey called Ultimate Jam Night. And Doug was a very big part of that. And he got us on the first show we ever played was a benefit for the Pulse Orlando shooting. Uh-huh. And Doug was the one that said, "You guys need to have Gacy DC on the show. You need to know them. You need to know what they're about." And so he kind of, you know, we were kind of the debutantes. He introduced us to polite society.
Right.
He opened all those doors, and the Ultimate Jam Night people, they're our family now, and they welcomed us with open arms. And we were like, "How is this going to go?" Because we'd just started really playing out.
Right.
And the whole Jam Fam showed up for us. And after our set, they were like, "You guys are a force of nature. Welcome to the family." And
it was
95 miles per hour after that. We were just... Right. Doors opened. We played places we never thought we'd play. We met people we never thought we'd meet who were fans of ours. It's just been incredible.
And that is such a criminally underrated band. I don't understand how they never like totally blew up. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they should have.
Like in my regular rotation, Gretchen Goes to Nebraska. I can't get enough of that record 30 years later or something. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but criminally underrated. And, you know, the what I do love is they'll leave a mark on music.
Yes.
20, 30, 50 years from now, people will still talk about King's X.
But, you know, the thing is, a band like that, they're super lucky in a way not to. Because now they have got the ability to do whatever they want and play wherever. Oh, I keep hitting this button that stops the video. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
So they actually have that freedom. Whereas bands that get really popular, the expectations on them from their record label, from management, from their, you know, they can just do whatever they want and and record whatever
they want. Yeah.
Without any kind of that, you know, that's a sort of a level like King Crimson, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They never broke through, but they are constantly doing exactly what they want.
And melodically, man, you can't get better melodies than some of those songs. Holy right. shit. Yeah, they write the textbook on that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So let's talk about Gacy DC then. Highway to Hell tour. You guys are going out on the road here for a little bit?
Yes. So, you know, all of us have day jobs. So it's very difficult to kind of pocket, you know, put these into little pockets of time where we can all kind of take time off. But yeah, we decided, you know, what are we going to do? Once we brought Patrick in, the first thing was we said, well, what can we schedule with you? And so he's committed to the whole year's worth of shows. So I guess there's about a dozen right now. Yeah.
Was it difficult adjusting to having Patrick in the band? I mean, were there growing pains?
No.
Well, for me, because, you know, I'm in another band called Pansy Division, and he was our lead guitar player from 97 to, well, I think he played, 97 until 2004 or so. So, and he played on a couple records and stuff. So I've known him. I've known his passion for AC/DC from the beginning. So when he came to rehearse with us for one of the shows that we had scheduled with Clint, he said, well, I'll fly out for this one, and it'll be sort of an audition, if you will. And he played every song as if he'd already been playing it, you know,
that's beautiful,
with us for like a year. It was just like, he just slipped right in. He had all the groove, you know, cause that's in his DNA as well as ours. Right. And so, so it was just unreal how that rehearsal went. I think we only played every song once.
That's beautiful.
Like,
I had a gut feeling that Patrick would seamlessly fit in. And I have to say, personally, I met Patrick the same day that I met Chris, when I worked on the Boston Pride Commission and brought Pansy Division for that year for Pride. And Pansy Division is a very, very influential band for me. And so, you know, the same day that I meet Patrick and I meet Chris is very much etched in my memory. So now that I'm playing in a band with half of Pansy Division, it's kind of like a huge bucket list. But I got to know Patrick, and we have very similar tastes in music. And so fast forward to, you know, sort of later last year, when Chris kind of floated the idea that, hey, Patrick might be a good fit for us. He might want to be in the band. The hurdle was that he lives in Denver. But the minute that Chris said that Patrick is interested, I said, I think that's it. We have other people that we had in mind, and we were playing with at the time to do some shows. We were contractually obligated to get these shows done. But in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, it's Patrick. It's just Patrick. And like Chris said, the first rehearsal we had with him before the show in San Francisco the night before, it was like he'd been playing with us for 10 years. He That's fit great. Right in musically, socially, everything, humor wise. He just gets everything that we're about.
And you can't beat that then. That's beautiful.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
On a side note, I know you're in Pansy Division. One of my team members, or whatever you want to call him, he does reviews for me. You are on his bucket list of people to interview and meet, and Ray actually set him up for you in Atlanta. So you'll be meeting my buddy Ray, who's doing a review or an interview or something down there.
Excellent. Yeah, that's just a few weeks or so. Yeah.
Yeah, April 5th or something. He sent me a message and he's like, I would love to get to meet Pansy Division. They're my favorite band of all time. So I said, hold on one second. Let me give Ray a buzz. So yeah, he's going to meet up with you later on for that, which I think is kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah.
So are you guys planning on doing any recording at all, or?
Any further recording? Yes. We've actually got three songs that Brian has finished tracking. And Glenn just put bass on. So I'm going to do some editing with that. And then it'll be Steve. And then I'll I'll probably do a vocal on it. And then, of course, Patrick.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
So that's probably, so we're not really sure what we're exactly going to do with these recordings, but you know, there, we do have a SoundCloud link where you can listen to all the songs we've recorded and put out, including Highway to Hell. And those will probably go up there as well. I mean, we can't really, you know, we try to do this as a passion, you know. We can't really make a living from it because we're really, you know, we're a cover band.
And it's niche.
It's niche within a niche even.
Right.
You know, we're not making money off of their music. We're not making money, you know, off their recordings or anything, or videos. We can't monetize off of that.
Right.
So we just try to break even by the end of the day, you know, cover our costs, and we just super enjoy doing what we do. You know, it's not about the money. It's really about the fact that I would do this even if it was for free, you know, because it really is in the end.
Right. At the end of the day. Right.
One of the things that we have to think about when we decide we want to do a song is also, what is the visual for that? Because, you know, just recording a song and putting it out somewhere, you know, lots of AC/DC cover bands do that. And lots of cover bands just in general will do that. And, you know, I'll listen once, but, you know, I'm like, you know, if they're not really bringing anything, you know, aside from, you know, the original recording, what's there for me to grab onto? And so for us, we have to think of the visual, because for us, it's all about the show.
Yes, absolutely.
We are a live band. We put on a show. And so we always think, well, if we're going to do a song, what's the visual to it? Because it's got to go along with it, because that's who we are.
I mean, no feather boa, no GCDC, all the others.
Exactly.
Right. No feather boa, no GCDC, right.
Yeah,
no, that makes sense.
There's no one else doing what we do. So we kind of have to make sure we have our spin on it. That makes it different.
We are definitely more than just a tribute band, because tribute bands are the kind where they're trying to mimic or mirror the original. And we're sort of a refresh in a way.
So you're paying tribute, but not copying. Right.
Right. The thing that we make sure is that the music is exactly like everything's got to be right about that, because there's a little magic in their music, and you got to be able to get that swing and get that feel. It's kind of it's hypnotic, but it's misleading. You think it's really simple and you're like, oh wow, this is really hard to get right.
Right.
And then the rest is just whatever. We just blew it up, you know. No black t-shirts, you know what I mean? Like, no blue jeans. It's got to be, you know, right?
A show.
Exactly. And I take a lot of liberties with the lyrics, honestly.
Yes.
Some I don't have to, but, you know, some are just like big balls, just doing that song.
What it is.
You know, just doing it right in the context. And so I think, you know, the idea is to have fun with it, but show the love. I mean, the love is there from all of us for this band.
Right.
And we never want anyone to think that we're making fun of them.
Right.
It's just
that I don't think that comes across that way, though. I think it definitely comes across as like, you know, hey, we're paying our respects to, you know, one of the greatest bands of all time, but we're also throwing our spin on it. Whatever that spin may be, right?
It's a recontext. It's taking that context with that music and going, how about if this happened with it?
Right.
You know, like a prism, you know, you start changing colors and stuff.
Yeah, I think that comes across well.
Good.
Thank you. That is the challenge. Every time we play a new city, we know that there are going to be people showing up, you know, with their arms folded going, oh, bunch of gay guys playing AC/DC. Let's see what this turns out to be. And by the end right. of the show, I think they get that our love for AC/DC runs deep, and we're not making fun or light of the music because we changed the lyrics. It's more a reflection on sort of some, you know, what we wish we had heard growing up. But right. the whole show is bringing everyone in on the laugh. It's not yeah. laughing at anyone. It's bringing them right. in on.
Right. And the energy's there. I mean, I've never seen you live in person, but I've seen, you know, live stuff online or wherever, and the energy's there, and, you know, it's right. Yeah. And yeah, so the lyrics are tongue-in-cheek sometimes, or not even tongue-in-cheek, just blatant, but whatever. It's still there, and it, you know, the energy's there, and the, I think the vibe is there.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think, not that I think, I believe that they know exactly what we're up to. People that have worked closely with them have shown them what we do. So I think they're aware of us, and I think they're pretty much okay with just letting us sort of operate over here, you know.
Right.
Hopefully, anyway. But yeah, the idea is to just enjoy ourselves. I mean, I love performing. And this is definitely a big challenge for me because I've always been a bass player right. and I've sung, you know, but I've always had an instrument and it's always been, that's the focus. So doing this whole thing with GACDC has really opened up a lot of different things for me personally. So yeah, it's been very enjoyable. It's excellent. So, it's just joyful.
And I think at the end of the day, in the shitty world we live in, when you turn on the news every day, people need enjoyment, joy, laughter, go have a good time, laughing at your tongue-in-cheek jokes or whatever, and lyrics. And even if you, you know, are not gay or whatever, you could still go and have the absolute best time.
Yes, correct.
Right? I mean, that's the end of the day.
In fact, a lot of times we're like a bachelorette party.
Fair enough. No, I mean, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything you want to cover?
When we started playing out, we were really surprised at the beginning because we thought we would be doing like all the prides and we'd be doing all the bear community events.
Right.
You know, the gay biker events. And before we knew it, we were playing the Viper Room. We were playing the Whiskey. And we saw that we really had a very hetero crowd that was really into what we were doing. They weren't there to sort of pick at us or, you know, they were right. very, very supportive. And that's what I love about this new video is that it really shows across the lines that someone like John Bush from Armored Saint jumped at the chance to be in our video. And no one saw that coming.
Right.
Someone, you know, Johnny Martin from LA Guns is a longtime friend of ours back from the very beginning. He was probably at the very first Ultimate Jam Night we ever played.
Right.
He's always been really supportive and a very good friend like Doug. But, you know, John Bush was kind of like the dark horse. No one saw it coming. They're like,
right.
How did you get John Bush in your video? And it's like, he gets it. And a lot of straight people get it. You're like, you don't have to be gay to really come to the show and have a good time.
And I've been doing this for a long time, and I have found that the metal community as a whole doesn't really give a shit. They don't care who you're dating, what religion you are. I mean, they don't give a shit what color you are. They kind of bond over the riff, right? If the music is good, it's a community, and it really doesn't matter, you know, like who you're sleeping with or who you worship or who any of that stuff.
Right.
I think.
Right. And I think the biggest turnaround for me was when Rob Halford came out.
Yeah.
And every was like, you're the metal god. So
yeah, who cares?
You know?
Right.
That was when I went, okay, then this, you know, there's space now.
I guess you're right. In the metal world, he was probably the kicked the door wide open.
Yep. He did.
I never thought of that much, but you know, really who cares at the end of the day?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. Did I miss anything?
No, that was great. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, always. And I've got two questions for you.
Okay, please.
question. Actually, thank you for the, I don't know if I ever properly thanked you for the bumper that I'm still using on this podcast.
Oh.
It's absolutely fantastic. So I know I sent you an email, but in person, thank you so much. It's still being used. Second, I don't know what your schedules are like, but the new season of Brutally Delicious is starting June 1st. If you at all find time to do some cooking, if you're interested, this one's themed on hot dishes. So, you know, hot pepper dishes, whatever, hot curries, hot whatever. I'm throwing it out there. If you don't want to do it, no big deal. But I know there's been a great response lately, so we decided to do it again.
Well, I need an amazing chili recipe.
There you go. Thank you, my friends. It was good seeing you again. Good luck.
Thank you. You too. And,
be well.
We'll see your friend in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Ray will be down there in Atlanta, so he'll see you then. Take care, my friends.
All right, be well. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.